Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman is here to take us discovering and exploring with the Webb Telescope and SphereX, observing a visitor, Comet 3I Atlas. Remind Bob, what is that?
All right, Comet 3I Atlas is the third interstellar object that we have confirmed detected. There are many of these that we haven't seen in the past, but in the last few years, our technology has improved enough we can spot them as they come in. And so Atlas, Comet 3I Atlas, is on its way through the solar system right now. And of course, astronomers are trying to get as much information about it as possible. They recently aimed both the Webb Space Telescope and the newer SphereX Space Telescope at Comet 3I Atlas. And both of those results came up with interesting results that are interesting in how they're not that unusual. For one, the Webb indicates that the coma of the comet, this is the material that's sublimating off the comet as it gets closer to the sun, is dominated by carbon dioxide gas. SphereX confirms that, but it also finds a strong signal of water ice in its nucleus. What does this tell us? This tells us this is a comet. It is not an alien object, which some very incompetent scientists, clickbait guys, have been trying to argue for the sake of publicity, who don't know much about astronomy or comets. This is definitely a comet. What's interesting about it is how relatively it's unique. It has unique components, as every comet does. Every object is unique. But it's so much like comets in our solar system. That's a significant discovery. This is an interstellar object that is not from our solar system, and yet it is comparable to comets in our solar system. That tells us the universe, the solar systems elsewhere, are going to have a lot of similarities to ours. That's a very significant finding, John.
The logic, Bob, suggests that we've been throwing up comets to other interstellar systems. Is that correct?
It's very possible. You know, the theory is there's this Oort cloud way out there. And I mean, I'm talking about a considerable distance where the gravity of the sun influences very weak. So obviously another star could pull things from it and end up, those comets are now flying into solar space and they can end up going to another object, another star. So that's the same thing that might have happened with this with another solar system. We don't really know. It's not enough information to say that.
The reason I follow is that theory of panspermia, throwing the fundamentals of what becomes organic material from planet to planet, can also work in the logic of throwing it from system to system.
John, you love science fiction, don't you? This is possible. It's an interesting theory, but I don't get involved in interesting theories that are really based on very little data. But yes, it's very possible that objects from many solar systems have interacted with each other, though we're not talking about a lot because the distance is so great.
Reestablished with Juno on Jupiter. Remind what Juno is.
No, this is not Juno, John. This is JUICE, different probe. Juno is in orbit around Jupiter, has been for now many years, and its mission is getting close to the end. Europe has built and launched a probe called JUICE that's going to go into Jupiter orbit in July of 31. It is on its way there. It's got to do many flybys. It has a flyby scheduled for Venus at the end of this month, but a month ago, they lost all contact with JUICE. All contact was lost, and they spent the next 3 weeks scrambling to try to recover communications before the Venus flyby. Well, they have recovered it. Everything's fine. The spacecraft's in good condition. There was a software bug, they say, and they have fixed it. So, you know, it's not like trying to reboot, you know, not like having Windows problems crashing, and they managed to get it working again. So, sigh of relief. JUICE is still on its way to Jupiter in 31.
And its mission is observation, is probe the atmosphere?
JUICE is the icy moons of Jupiter. They're going to be flying by and making a lot of flybys of the big Galilean moons that have a lot of ice on them, Europa, Callisto, and Ganymede. And they want to see what's going on there. That's their interest.
So this will augment Clipper that's headed out there.
That's right. You're absolutely right. Europa Clipper is going to be focused on Europa, but JUICE will supplement that significantly and maybe confirm or deny some of the results.
And the triumphant New Horizons, where is it and what is happening?
New Horizons is moving outside the solar system at a great speed. It doesn't really have anything else to look at. They have now put it into a hibernation period, which could possibly last forever. It's about 5.7 billion miles from Earth. Granted, it's an operating spacecraft very far away, but it can't really do that much other than maybe observe the distant solar system and maybe get outside the solar system eventually, like the Voyager crafts were. At the moment, the Trump administration has zeroed out all funding for maintaining its operation. So the team has put it into hibernation, and depending on how the fiscal budget is finally negotiated with Congress, we might not wake it up again. But I think what will happen is that maybe every 5-10 years, someone will say, it's time to wake it up again, and they'll throw some money in to do that. But I really do think, for budget reasons, it's perfectly reasonable to put this in a long-term hibernation at this stage.
Misconduct, yes. Where is the square kilometer array?
This is located on the remote Western Australia, and it's purposely put there because it's a radio telescope array, and you want to be in an area where there's not a lot of civilization and a lot of radio to interfere with its signals coming from space. And the array, square kilometer array, describes it perfectly. It's a square kilometer of many small antennas that are going to work together. And once completed, it's really going to do a lot of good. It's going to create very high-resolution radio images of radio emissions. Objects such as fast radio bursts. It appears that the way this thing was constructed, though, it allowed for a lot of misconduct. And a whistleblower has announced that there was major financial misconduct that in the operation of this thing. They set it up so that it was immune from local laws, either in Australia or anywhere else. They're basically like diplomats, and they're immune from any laws. And so some people apparently took advantage of that to steal funds from the organization. It's now over budget. What a surprise. We'll see how that plays out, but there are allegations, and they're now investigating them.
Bob is an outdoorsman, and he's mapping his ambition on Mars. What have you found, Bob?
I look at the cool images coming down from Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. I found a few. They've posted them on Behind the Black. One of them was this really interesting canyon with these big mesas inside, very thin, knife-like mesas. And, of course, I look at that and say, if you could climb up on the nose of that, you walk along a knife edge, you got views in both directions. It would be a great hike. And so I've got the picture of that on Behind the Black, describing where it is and how it formed, but mostly, wouldn't that be a cool place to set up a bed and breakfast?
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.